Welcome to Life Church McDonough Podcast. If you will, please visit us at lifechurchmcdonough.com, or you can follow and subscribe at Life Church McDonough on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. If you're in the McDonough area, please come visit us. Life happens here.
After all of the upheaval in America and around the world over the last 2 years, I am concerned, in the words of Paul, that we not be led astray from our pure devotion to Christ, that we not lose focus of our core commitment to the great commission of Jesus to win our city and win the world for Christ. I hear the Spirit saying that we need to refocus our faith and our mission on three foundational truths, which are these. Christ, the kingdom, and souls. Christ, the kingdom, and souls. That's what we're going to talk about this morning from Romans 15. We, the church, are not called to be a political party to win elections. We are called to be a prophetic people to preach the gospel and win the world for Christ. That is our mission, and it is spiritual. May God help us to fulfill it. If we will wholly devote ourselves to Christ, the kingdom, and souls, God will use us to win our city and to win our world for him. That's what we see in Scripture. Let's turn and read together from Romans chapter 15, verses 20 and 21. Romans 15, verses 17 through 21. You'll see on the screen the Scriptures as well as some other pictures. Verse 17, therefore I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, Jerusalem's represented here, thank God, Illyricum is modern-day Albania and part of the Balkans, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who are not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. In verse 17, when Paul says, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God, he is saying that it's all about Christ. From the day that Paul surrendered his life to Christ on the road to Damascus to the day that he gave his life for Christ, beheaded for his faith in Rome, he gave his all for Jesus. Paul preached Christ, he prayed Christ, he imitated Christ, he suffered for Christ, he lived and died for Christ. For Paul, it was all about Christ. And likewise, as his followers, we are called to give our all for Jesus. He is our greatest passion. He is our first priority, our first thought, our first prayer every day. In Christ, life ceases to be all about us, our hopes, dreams, our accomplishments, our desires, and it becomes all about him. We live to please him, to lose ourselves to gain him, to fulfill his mission of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus. No matter where we are, at work, home, school, we are his witnesses. We live to serve him and to tell others about him. Please say it out loud with me this morning. It's not about me, it's all about Christ. It's not about me, it's all about Christ. We have to remember that and keep Christ central in the mission. Much like Paul on the road to Damascus, a young Albanian man named Genzi had a life-changing encounter with Jesus on his road to Greece. He was on his way out of Albania to work as an illegal immigrant in Greece to help support his family, as many Albanians do. He was caught by police at the border and turned back. That night, in his home, Jesus appeared to Genzi, stretched out his hand, and said, "Follow me." Genzi is raised in an atheist, communist culture. His response was, "No, I don't believe in you." And so just like Jesus did with Paul, he blinded Genzi, and blind Genzi wrestled with Christ all night long. Finally in the morning, he said, "Okay, Jesus, I believe in you. I'll follow you. I surrender to you." The power of God came upon him. His sight was restored. His life was transformed. He was saved.
He found a church in his local community, a Muslim community, got discipled, later was called to ministry, came to our Bible school for training, and today he's pastoring a church in a Muslim community, reaching about 150 people every week with the gospel of Christ. For Genzi, it's all about Christ and all about sharing Christ with those who don't know him and haven't heard. There are 3.1 billion unreached people in the world in the 1040 window, which I call the red zone, as you see highlighted in red on the Joshua Project map. Most of them are Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists. They are unreached, meaning they have not heard the gospel and cannot hear the gospel because they have no witness. There are no missionaries, churches, pastors, believers, Bibles in their language or in their area. They have no access, no opportunity to hear the gospel, which is the biggest difference between them and us. When Jesus commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, he was talking about the red zone. If we don't go to the poorest, hardest, most least reached places in the world, who will? God is calling us. The Balkans is the only part of Europe in the red zone, and God has called us to reach them. We all need to live with a sense of mission. I pray that you as a believer have a sense of mission, that you know you have been saved, you have been called, you've been anointed to be witnesses for Christ and to reach people that perhaps only you can reach. Each one of us, each one of you has a vital part to play in the mission of God, reaching this community and the world for him. Are you fully committed to Christ? Are you actively serving him? Are you an active witness each day of your faith? Are you praying for those around you with no witness? Are you witnessing to those around you locally? Are you giving generously to missions to send this gospel around the world? You will have the opportunity today, church, to make a faith missions promise. And as you make that faith promise to the Lord, you will be reaching out for souls and changing the world. It is not about us and our needs. It's all about Christ and his mission. We live and die for Christ and Christ alone, for Jesus first and last. Say it once again with me. It's not about me. It's all about Christ. In Jesus' name. As we move down the passage to verses 18 and 19, we also see that it's all about the kingdom. Look again at the last part of verse 19 with me. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus preached this gospel. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. I believe the kingdom of heaven is nearer today than it's ever been. That we are living in the last of the last days. And that means we need to work while it's day. We sense urgency in our mission to the Balkans. I pray that you sense urgency in this community and your mission to the world as well. The kingdom of heaven is the sovereign reign and rule of God over all the universe, his absolute power and authority over all mankind and creation. The kingdom of God is not about a president, a political party, or the American dream. It is all about Christ, the kingdom, and souls. It is not about making America great again. It is about making Christ great again. And I guarantee you, if Christ is great in you and me, great in his church, and great in our country, then God will continue to bless America and use us to bless the nations as he is doing today. There is no other country in the world that sends out more missionaries and more gospel than America. And so let's stay focused on our mission. Let's stay dedicated to Christ. Let's stay committed to the Great Commission and reaching the world. It's not about America first. It's Christ first. It's the kingdom first. We seek to advance him. It's all about the kingdom of God. It's your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's Revelation 11:15, which I've been praying a lot over the last 2 years. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. For us as believers, we should have no question, no confusion as to who's in control in America or who's in control in Russia, Ukraine, or any other nation on the face of the earth. King Jesus reigns. He's on his throne. He's in control. He's accomplishing his mission, and we're joining with him in it. The Lord has used much prayer, fasting, and spiritual warfare to bring his kingdom to Albania. I want to tell you the story of Cal Olson. He was a retired veteran missionary to Bangladesh. He had an intense spiritual battle in March of 1990 before the fall of communism in Albania. He was at his home in the U.S. and had never been to Albania before. The Spirit led him to fully fast and pray for 40 days for Albania to open up to the gospel. Albania was the most closed country in the world at that time. His intercession for Albania became so intense that he did not leave his apartment, could not sleep, and even stopped drinking water. The battle climaxed one evening when demonic powers from Albania entered his room, put their hands around his neck, and began to choke him to death. He said, "I could hardly breathe. I couldn't speak a word. All I could do was cry out in my heart, 'God help me. Lord, save me.' And then," he said, "the presence of God came over me." How many of you are thankful for the presence of God? It's real. It's powerful. He said, "The presence of God came over me, and I was able to speak one word." One name, in fact. Anybody want to guess what that one word, that one name might have been? He spoke the name of Jesus. And when he said Jesus, those demon powers let go of him and jumped back. And then he said, "A holy boldness came over me, rose up within me. And I faced those demon powers from Albania, and I said, 'In the name of Jesus, flee.' And they fled." Just a few months later, in December of 1990, the communist atheist regime in Albania fell, opening up the most closed country in the world to the gospel, launching a move of the Spirit that called missionaries like us from all over the world come to preach the gospel to people who had never heard it, to plant churches, and to bring that church from zero churches to over 262,000 decisions for Christ. It is a miracle of God and move of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that what God did in the former number one most closed country in the world, he can do in the current number one most closed, Afghanistan, which just took that position this year from number two, North Korea, or he can do here in McDonough, Georgia, or anywhere where the people of God will fast and pray and seek his face and take authority in his name. He'll do it. This is the power of the kingdom and the reign and rule of Jesus Christ over demonic powers and human souls. Imagine with me. God used Cal Olson, a retired missionary, to change the world through prayer and fasting from his home in the U.S. You might wonder, who am I? What can God do with me? Can God use me to make a difference? God, through prayer, can use you, whoever you are, wherever you are from, to change cities and nations. God can use anyone, anywhere, anytime to do anything. He said in Psalm 2:8, "Ask me and I will give you the nations." I want to ask you this morning, and I want you to ask yourself, what are you asking God for? What are you asking God to do in your life, in your family, in your church?
Heard of a lot of people being baptized this past year. Praise God. What more do you want from him? What are you asking God to do in your city, our nation? What are you asking God to do in the world? God wants you to ask. There are many things that God wants to do but will not do until or unless we ask, because God has ordered to work through his church through prayer. And so I encourage you, ask with faith. Ask with burden. Ask with boldness. Ask. He's ready to release his power if we'll just ask and believe him. As a church of Jesus Christ and prophetic people of God called to reach the world with the gospel, we need to stay focused on the imperatives of the kingdom. It's easy to get sidetracked in the confusion, chaos, and conspiracy theories of men, but it is all about the kingdom. Seeking the kingdom, advancing the kingdom, bringing the kingdom to where it doesn't exist yet. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our identity is in Christ. Our devotion is to Christ and to Christ alone. It's all a question of allegiance. And I have found myself praying this sacred oath over these last 2 years. I pledge my allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the kingdom for which he stands. The kingdom for which I stand. The kingdom that I am living to advance, praying to see come in McDonough and around the world. And so let's seek first the kingdom. Amen? It's all about Christ and the kingdom. At the end of the passage, in verses 20 and 21, Paul also emphasizes that it's all about souls. Look at verses 20 and 21 with me. It's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. Rather, those who are not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. Paul is talking about souls. Please highlight these words in your Bible from verses 20 and 21. Not known, not told, not heard. Not known, not told, not heard. These haunting words describe the spiritual lostness of people without Christ and without a witness of the gospel. We're talking about 42% of the world. Paul's apostolic call was to reach the Gentiles, all of the peoples outside of Jewish Israel that had no witness of the gospel. Today we call these people unreached people or least reached people. In his passionate search for souls, Paul went to places where nobody else was going to reach people that nobody else was reaching, places with no churches like most places in the Balkans today. Paul and the church in the first century brought the gospel all the way west to Spain and all the way east to India. They reached their world in their lifetime. We are called to do the same. We must reach our world, meaning our city, our state, our world in our lifetime. We must love the lost and seek the souls of the unreached. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, Luke 19:10. I think the best statement of his mission in the New Testament. We are called to do the same. It's all about souls. As an 18-year-old senior in high school, I was planning on going to medical school until God spoke to me one day in prayer and said, Kurt, I haven't called you to medicine. I've called you to ministry, to preach the gospel where Christ is not known. That day, God filled my heart with a love and burden for lost souls, with a concern for their eternal destiny. And I wanted to win the world for Christ. I still do. What about you? What has God called you to do? Where has God called you to go? Who has God called you to reach? There are some people in your sphere of influence, in your community, that only you can reach. Some say, well, if I don't reach them, if I don't obey and be a witness, God will call someone else. Not true. There are some people that only you can reach, and God has called you to reach them. May God help us to be his witnesses. If God called you to go as a missionary, would you go? If God called one of your children or grandchildren to go, would you bless them to go? Who is willing to lose yourself, leave everything, and follow him? That's the call of God to every disciple, every follower of Jesus. Let's bring it closer to home here. Here in Henry County, there are over 235,000 souls. If we estimate, according to the national average, that 30% are evangelical believers, then 70,500 are believing saved souls, and 164,500 are unbelieving lost souls. These aren't just numbers. These are a lot of people here in Henry County that you know, that you live with, work with, go to school with, go by church with every day. Perhaps 70% of the people in this community are lost and on their way to an eternity of judgment, torment, agony, and suffering in hell because they have not yet received God's gracious offer of salvation and because we haven't reached them. How does that make you feel? 7 out of 10 people in this community, over 9 out of 10 people around the world, lost and on their way to hell. Does it disturb you? I pray that it does, because it disturbs and burdens and breaks the heart of God. Jesus came that they might live. Is there a fire burning in your soul for the lost souls of men? A fire, a passion that moves you to pray for them, that compels you to witness to them, that moves you to help them. If that fire is not burning in your soul, then we would do well to stop everything else and just pray and say, God, light a fresh fire in my soul today. This could be the most life-changing thing that happens in your heart today. Maybe you once loved the lost and that flame has grown cold. And indifference and apathy and busyness and all those other things that block us from being the witnesses of Christ. Maybe you just need to pray today and say, God, light a fresh fire in my soul. Let's pray together, all right? Say, Lord Jesus, light a fresh fire in me. Give me more love for you and more passion for lost people. Use me to reach them. Amen. Love for lost souls comes from love for Christ. And the love of Christ compels us towards lost souls. Where there is a lack of love for the lost, there is a lack of love for Christ. Say that once more. Where there is a lack of love for the lost, there is a lack of love for Christ. Because the love of Christ always compels us towards lost, broken, hurting, unreached people. May he compel us today and fill us with his love. The gospel is your right and your responsibility. Every person in the world has the right to hear the gospel, and we, the church, have the responsibility to tell them. May God help us. I pray today that God would give us a fresh baptism of his love. How many of you need a baptism of the love of God? A love that moves you and me beyond ourselves and helps open our eyes to see people like God sees people and love them like he loved them and to sacrifice everything to reach them. That's God's call upon every one of us as a follower of Christ. It's all about Christ, the kingdom, and souls. Let's talk a little bit about the Balkans. We believe that what God has done in Albania a first-generation church he wants to do across the Balkans. The Balkans is the least known, least represented, least reached area of Europe. You can see on the map the 10 countries that we are targeting. 42 million souls, over 99% without Christ. Most of them have no witness of the gospel, have never met a follower of Jesus. To Balkanize means to divide. And the history of the Balkans has been dominated by war, including genocide and ethnic cleansing in Bosnia and Kosovo in the 1990s. Only the gospel of Christ can bring healing and reconciliation to the war-torn Balkans. And that's the gospel we're preaching. We've been serving in Albania and the Western Balkans for 27 years. Balkan Reach is a new pioneer ministry to church plant among unreached people through teams. God has put five priorities in our hearts, beginning with revival. We want to be a catalyst for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that will cause a great turning to Christ. Evangelism. I am asking God for a million souls. It's a big ask. Way beyond our capacity. Way beyond our current reality, but we serve a big God with whom nothing is impossible. Please pray and believe with us for a million souls. Apostolic teams. From our training center in Albania, we'll send out called, equipped, multinational teams to pioneer new territory. Church planting. We dream to plant hundreds of churches where they don't exist. And to see church planting movements thrive in the Balkans, which means churches that multiply themselves by planting other churches. And Holy Spirit empowerment. We've seen God do many miracles and send many visions and dreams over the years in Albania. And as we go out into the Balkans, we're believing him for supernatural signs and wonders that will confirm the gospel that we're preaching. Gazim heard the gospel through a missionary, put his faith in Christ, and his life was transformed. His Muslim family opposed him, persecuted him. After a difficult pregnancy, his wife Ariana, who you see here, became terminally ill. And her family told him, "This is God's punishment against you for leaving your Muslim faith." The family had no hope. They were gathered in their house for her death. Gazim and the missionary came to pray for her one day for healing in the name of Jesus. They laid hands on her and prayed. And as they prayed, she said, "I felt another hand from above." How many of you thank God for that other hand when we're sick and diseased and lost and hopeless and helpless? She said, "I felt another hand from above come down on my bloated stomach and push it back into its normal position. And all of the sickness and disease flowed out of her body." She was instantly, completely healed by the power of God in the mighty name of Jesus. She then put her faith in Christ and she was completely saved. Today, this couple are pastoring a vibrant church in Durrës, Albania, reaching hundreds of Muslim people with the gospel and church planting in villages around their city. That is the power of the gospel anointed by the Holy Spirit. This is the bottom line. It's all about Christ, the kingdom, and souls. Loving Christ, loving Jesus more than anything or anyone else. Advancing the kingdom where there is no church. We heard today about people in this community that haven't heard yet. From here to the nations. And seeking and saving lost souls. May God give us souls. If you will wholly devote yourself to Christ, the kingdom, and souls, God will use you to change this city. God will use you to change nations. He'll use us to reach the unreached before King Jesus comes back. I ask you to do three things as we move toward prayer. First, please pray.
get one of our prayer cards from our table in the lobby. Pray for us. Pray for God to call workers to the Balkans. That's our greatest need. Pray for spiritual awakening in secular Europe. Desperately needed. If you want to know more about Balkan Reach, join our prayer team. Get more information. Fill out a Connect card on the table. Leave it in the box on the table. Or scan the QR code on the table or on the back of the brochure. And you can do that on your phone. We'd love to connect. Also, please give. You are already faithful monthly partners. We thank you for that. In order to raise our budget and return to the field in April, we need 5 additional monthly commitments of $100. Pray with us, please. A gift of $5,000 will help launch a new church in the Balkans. Maybe someone could sow that seed of faith today. And today, you have the opportunity to make a faith promise for the missions budget of your church this year, and we will come back to that. In addition to praying and giving, please go. God is calling. He's always calling. The question is, who's willing to answer? Who's willing to go? Who's willing to lose yourself, leave everything, and go with the gospel? I pray that God calls some of you or your children to be missionaries. I pray that God will call even one person from Life Church, McDonough, Georgia, to our Balkan Reach team. The harvest is great. The workers are few. It's so true. We need more workers. Will you go? Let's respond to the word of God by praying together right now. And I'm just going to ask you 3 questions, and then we'll pray. First, you feel the Spirit of Jesus drawing you. You're not following him, not faithfully. And you, whether you're here in person or listening online, you need to commit or recommit your life to Jesus. You feel him convicting you, drawing you. Please don't leave this service without being right with God. He loves you. He's got a plan for you. He'll give you a new start today. If that's you, and you say, I need to commit or recommit my life to Jesus, I will decide today, from today on, to follow you, Lord. Raise your hand, please. Whether you're listening online or you're here in person, raise your hand. He loves you. He's reaching out to you. He'll work in you today. He'll forgive you. We're going to pray together. Not going to take long, but please, raise your hand, open up your heart, online or here in person. Second question. You're a believer, but you feel God convicting you and moving you. You need more love for Christ, more burden for the lost, and more boldness in your witness to share the gospel with lost people around you. And you say, I want a fresh baptism of love today. I want a fresh baptism of power and boldness to be the witness God's called me to be. Raise your hand, whether here in person or online. Raise your hand. We're going to pray together. Okay. Finally, you say, I'm here, and I feel like God's called me to missions, or if God were to call me, I'm willing to go. And I want to say to God today, I'm available. Use me. I'll go wherever you call me to go. Somewhere in the red zone, maybe to the Balkans. God, I want to respond to your word. If you feel called to missions, or if you're available, willing to go, should God call you, raise your hand. Whether here or online, please raise your hand, and we're going to pray. Thank you. Jesus is asking for workers, people who are willing to go. And you say, I'm available, God. Just take me, use me however you want. All right, let's pray together. First, if you need to commit or recommit your life to Jesus, I'll lead you in prayer. Pray with me. Pray from your own heart. God wants to hear your words, but let's pray together. Lord, I believe in you. And today I choose to follow you. I believe, Jesus, that you came, died, rose again, and I ask you today, forgive me, forgive my sins. I put my faith in you, and I decide from today on, I'm going to follow you. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Use my life for your glory. I want to be your witness. In Jesus' name, keep praying. Keep praying online if that's you. Second, believers, let's pray for a fresh baptism of love and fire and boldness. God, we confess our need of you. We repent and ask you to forgive us for our apathy, indifference, complacency. God, today, fill me with fresh fire. Give me greater burden and boldness in my witness, in my walk with you. Help me to love the lost and love the unreached like you do. Use me to win them, to reach them, to help them to to bring them to Christ. In Jesus' name. Keep praying, believer. And now for workers. Lord, we ask you to call workers. Raise up workers in this church. Raise up workers that will go into all the nations, into the red zone, into the Balkans. Speak to our young people. Call our children. Lord, I make myself available to you today. Just speak to me, and I'll follow you. I'll obey you, because I want to do your will, and I want to advance your kingdom. Pray, believer. Open up your heart to God. If you've never heard his voice before, if you don't know what his call, his plan, long term is for your life, ask him right now. One word from God will change the direction of your life. God, we ask for workers. Lord of the harvest, raise up missionaries and call workers in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Okay, let's talk a few moments about faith promises. We as missionaries have a monthly budget to raise before going to the field. This budget comes mostly from churches like you who make a monthly commitment to us based on your faith promise commitments to the church. Faith promise giving is above your tithe. On the faith promise card, do we have faith promise cards on the table? We do. On the faith promise card, you will see a phrase that says, as God enables me. It's on this tab on the right side of the card. And that phrase is very important. The faith promise is all about God's ability. It's not about your ability or budget of what you can give to him in missions. It's about what God is able to supply to you and through you to give to missions. And so a faith promise is not committing to give what you know you can afford, but what you believe God will afford and provide for you. It's a step of faith. If God doesn't enable you, then you don't have to give it, and nobody will ask you for it. But how many of you believe God's able to supply for us and provide in miraculous ways as we step out in faith? So I encourage you today, stretch your faith, believe God for more than you can possibly give on your own, for something more than you gave last year. Some of you might ask, well, how much should I give? I encourage you to ask God for his number. God's number is always greater than our number because his thoughts and plans are greater than ours. And I would rather do God's number with God's help than my number without his help. So ask God, what's your number? What do you want to do through me? You simply promise to give what God provides for you by faith. You can also give by making a sacrifice, meaning living on less to give more. For the cost of a $5 coffee every week or one $20 meal every month, you can begin with a $20 faith promise. Others can give $50, $100, or more. I'm not asking you to do something that we don't do ourselves. Stephanie and I support 7 missionaries. We believe in missions, and we've seen God bless our lives and our finances as a result. One couple in a mission service had decided beforehand what to give. They came all set and decided. Maybe many of you have come ready as well. And when the faith promise challenge was made, they felt the Spirit of God moving their heart, saying, your number's not enough. So they prayed, and they felt compelled to increase their commitment from $200 to $500 a month. It made no sense. It wasn't in their budget. They didn't have it, but they took a step of faith. And over the next year, God provided in miraculous ways and enabled them to make that faith promise commitment. And so let God take you out of your comfort zone. If you're comfortable with your faith promise amount, you probably don't have God's number. Our faith promise goal this year is $53,000 for the year, which is just over $4,400 per month. So if 88 of you commit to give $50 a month, the goal will be met. More than the commitment amount, we want 100% participation. Everybody can do something. Everybody should do something. And in that way, many of you can do more than you're doing. Let's believe God. A church in one of the poorest countries in America became one of the greatest missions-giving churches in the Assemblies of God. God told the young pastor in Griffin, Georgia, if you will take care of my world, I will take care of your church. And that's what I heard you, brother, saying earlier concerning your giving to missions and God providing for the debt and blessing you as a church. It's so true. Over the years, that church grew from a small group to 400 to 4,000 believers, giving over $2 million a year to missions in one of the poorest counties in America. The pastor said their growth was all because of their commitment to missions. And so, do you want to see your local church grow? Do you want to see more lost people saved? Do you want to reach the world as well? Touch the unreached. Give generously to missions. We as missionaries and unreached people are depending on your response. How will they hear unless we go? And how can we go unless you send us? So pray and ask God today, not only what He wants you to do, but what He wants to do through you. And even if He gives you a scary number, step out in faith. It's a faith walk between you and Him. Your faith promise will make an eternal difference in the kingdom of God. So by faith, let's do something more for missions this year than we did last year. Amen? Thank you. God bless you. Pastor Jonathan.
One more time, can we celebrate our missionaries in the room? Thank you, Pastor Kurt, for challenging us, inspiring us this morning. This is a very important moment for the life of our church. It's a holy moment. I was praying and thinking about this past week, and my family had the opportunity to host a birthday party at our home for Danielle, and her whole Puerto Rican family came and invaded our home. And we loved every minute of it. And it was incredible because there was just a really, what seemed to be an insignificant moment was an important moment for me. Because Martin lovingly said, he said, Pastor, you've got a really nice home. And I thought to myself, the only reason I have anything good in this life is because I give. The only reason God chooses to bless me is because He knows He can trust me. He knows He can bless me because He knows He can trust me. Somebody needs that this morning. He will bless you if He will trust you. And without faith, it's impossible to please our God. So this morning, you've got your card in front of you. I want to challenge you right now in this holy moment. I'm going to pray. And let's ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, right now, I ask that You would begin to speak to us, Lord. I ask that right now in this holy moment, Your number would be impressed on our heart. God, I want to thank You that in 2021, there were only 2 months out of the year that we did not meet our faith promise budget. And those 2 months were only by about $50 to $100 because Your people believed You and Your people trusted You and You were capable to provide. And so God, this morning, as we make a new commitment, as we renew our old commitments to our missions faith promise, God, I pray that You would do what was said at the beginning of this service, that You would give and give back to us, pressed down, shaking together, overflowing into our laps, so that we can be blessed to be a blessing to this world. I thank You for what You're about to do in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, go ahead and begin to fill out your card right now. In just a moment, we're going to ask some ushers to walk around and collect those from you. But I wanted one last thing. Jubilee and I love to talk about, and many of you have had a lot of fun talking with us about this topic, is I don't think we think enough about heaven. I'll say that again, church. I don't think we think enough, ponder enough, envision heaven enough, because there's going to come a day, and it's going to be sooner than later, where there's going to be a long line of individuals that we've never met, that we've never shook hands with, that we've never even spoken to, but there's going to be a long line of individuals that are going to be waiting for us in heaven to say thank you. Thank you for giving. It's because of what you did on February 13th on Super Bowl Sunday, the day before Valentine's Day. You had enough love in your heart that you chose to make a commitment to God and you sacrificially gave. And because of your generosity, I gave my heart to Jesus and my soul was saved. I was set free from the bondage of sin, grave, and death. And now I'm living forever with you in paradise. Thank you. That's going to happen. That's what this moment is going to bring. So I want to say from the bottom of my heart as your pastor, thank you so much. Thank you for being a generous church. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being committed.